Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
I have a question for you.
I would love to hear it.
First of all, we have a very special guest on the show today.
God, I know. Bowie's here.
How excited are you for this weekend?
Every time that we're going to watch Greg's dog, Colin always goes, "Oh, where are Greg and Lindsay going?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I don't ask. I don't care. We're getting the dog. You're missing. Don't bury the lead. We're getting the dog." And he's like,
Right.
"I don't know. I thought that those are our friends. You'd ask where they're going." And I'm like, "I don't care."
It doesn't matter. Do not miss the forest for the trees.
Very special guest. Bowie
Yes.
the Labradoodle is here.
AKA Charles Barkley. All right, let's start the show.
All right, let's go.
Did you go to any jazz games?
Yeah, a lot.
Kobe Bryant!
And when I know by my significant amount of research that it isn't.
That was a masterpiece of dog shit.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Unsalvageable, a Utah jazz podcast with me, Sarah Todd, jazz beat reporter for the Deseret News, and as always, my co-host, Greg Foster. Greg, very small, very stupid thing. Last night, Joey's going to need to pay attention on this one. Last night, I fell asleep on the couch after I got home from the game, and I had a, I don't know if I'd call it a dream or a nightmare. Nah, just a dream. It was hilarious, because what I dreamt was that we started the podcast today, and I said, "Hello, hello, and welcome to your motherfucking nightmare." And then I woke up and I was like, "Oh my God, did I actually do that? That's not good."
That's very, very spooky.
Yeah, that's. We're gonna revisit this in October.
The number one Glenn Danzig podcast.
Yes.
I had to let Bowie go. He was trying to lick my armpit.
Aw, lucky.
You have so much to look forward to.
I know. I already bought him treats. So.
I will say, I am proud of you for falling asleep after last night's game and not in the middle of it.
Is Bowie trying to open the door?
Yes, he is. Hold on. Right. Yeah, he likes to leave my room so then he can sit right next to Lindsay, my wife's office door, and just like lay there until she eventually lets him in.
The importance of the Utah Jazz games right now is such that
they're not important.
Yes, correct. So last night after the game, I wrote a story in which there were two sections in the story. The first being, I don't think the Jazz are going to win another game this season.
Nope.
And the second section was about the best shot of the night, which was by a fan during a timeout contest.
Mm-hmm. Did he end up winning the car? Did they?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
So they didn't cheat him out of that?
They did not cheat him out of it.
Good.
Yes.
That's how you treat your fans. I'm happy to hear that. Good. Congratulations to that guy. Great shot. Right on the money. Kyrie in game seven.
What was said is that the clock that they have is not like on one of the normal game clocks, right? It's up just on the Jumbotron, and a game ops person has like a countdown.
Right.
And the explanation that was given was that he did take the shot after the clock expired, but whoever like pressed the buzzer noise did it after the conclusion of the clock. He did make the shot like before the buzzer, but did it after the expiration of time, to which I still say,
"Start got off.
Be better on the buzzer then."
Yeah.
Buzzer person.
You get the shot off before the shot clock expires. It's good,
yeah,
right?
Like before the buzzer sounds,
you're good.
If there's no clock in front of you, then you're waiting for the sound of the buzzer.
I hit a half court shot one time.
You did?
Yeah, to win
like at
free pizza
at a game.
Yeah, at a college at my college basketball game. I won free Domino's pizza for a year, which was only ordering Domino's once a week. They gave you 52 coupons for once a week.
That's not
still pretty good.
It's still pretty good, though.
In college, it was like the best possible as a freshman in college.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
Now, was there like a quantity thing? Could you order like three large pizzas in a week, or was it just like one
large pizza?
That's still two meals.
Good.
Yeah.
That's like that's dinner and breakfast the night the morning after. That's great.
How do you feel about Domino's now?
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I didn't like it then, but you know,
not a
better
fan.
Than the dining hall or whatever. Yeah.
Can I say, just real quick, on the topic, Little Caesars has these like little like
the pizza muffins.
I tried them yesterday. They're really good.
Greg, I know you're unemployed, but you don't need to eat good. Little Caesars.
You know what? Little Caesars is good when you don't have a bitch in your ear telling you they're bad.
I'm a bigger fan of Little Caesars than Domino's. I really, yeah, really 100%. Like Domino's pizza. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going for the hot and ready, you know, very often because mm-hmm. you know, I'm not a freshman in college, but the pizza muffins, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I was in college in San Diego, RIP Aztecs. I would go to Hooters on Wednesday nights and I would play they had sports trivia on Wednesday nights.
Nice.
And during the school semesters, which coincidentally lines up really nicely with NBA season, it almost always just was like 90% NBA trivia on those nights. And I would just clean house and they would give the table one round of free beers and free wings to the winner. Mm-hmm. And that was like and that is how I would eat dinner on Wednesday nights in college was just, and the nights that I lost, I was like, I guess we're going back home to Cup of Noodle tonight.
That's a great college story. All of this is so much more fun than talking about the Jazz.
Oh yeah,
well,
that's
especially
what this podcast
there was
is about.
Extra sad news about the Jazz yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. So we, I mean, I've only known for a few days, but was embargoed to hold the story until, I guess it was Monday morning. Yeah. But yeah, Justin Zanuck has a hereditary disease called PKD, polycystic kidney disease, and he only found out about it because his wife did a great job wifing. He basically was really busy traveling a bunch last summer and came home from Australia, and his wife was like, "You look tired," and he was like, "Yeah, I'm always tired," and she was like, "Yeah, but you just seem more tired than usual," and he was like, "Bah, whatever, I gotta go back to Australia again," and like left 7 days later. And then when he came back, she was like, something's up, you need to go get a physical and like a full workup, you're more tired than you should be." And so he went and got the first physical and like blood draw that he'd had in 8 years.
No, man.
And everything was great except for he was operating at 14% like renal activity, kidney function, which is
really bad.
Seems
technically
low.
Like stage 5 kidney failure is 20%.
Under stage 5.
Yeah, and there, so
there's a stage 6. It's that
stage 6 is you
dead.
Don't have kidneys.
Yeah,
yeah. Once you get like below 10, that's when you get put on dialysis. And he was basically anywhere between like 11 and 14 for like the last few months and needed a kidney transplant. And I mean, the sucky part of the news is that this is like incredibly genetic mutation that causes PKD. And if you have that genetic mutation, then you definitely are going to have PKD. And cysts grow inside the kidney and will eventually cause loss of function. So like there's no like, if you have PKD, you can like slow it down from happening. Nope, it's just going to happen. All three of his kids also have the gene. Jeez. And so all three of his kids are going to eventually need transplants too. And so you can do deceased donor transplant, which for Justin Zanuck's blood type, the wait time on the wait list for that is like roughly 5 years.
Goodness.
You can do a living donor transplant, which is the thing I didn't know about until this week. But in order to get on like the living donor registry for a kidney, you have to have someone donate a kidney on your behalf. And so it's not just like, because genetically, like most of his family is just out because mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. the problems there, right? And it's hard to find someone in your life that is like a healthy donor candidate while also being like your antibody and blood type match.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, but with the living donor registry, you can have someone like donate a kidney just to the registry on your behalf that will go to a stranger, and then they'll optimize someone else on the list for you and find a kidney that matches you. But that does require finding someone in your life that will say like, yeah, sure.
Have my kidney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And his wife's childhood best friend, her husband, was like, yeah, I'll do it. And he turned out to be an incredible candidate for donor. And then, like, very quickly, they were able to put together a chain of recipients. And so after finding out that he had PKD, like, in October, Zanuck had a kidney transplant just the other day in April. And so it happened very fast. But I mean, apparently, like, the person that donated the kidney for Zanuck didn't even donate to the registry on the behalf of anyone. It was just like a guy who was like, oh, I can do this to help someone, and just entered the like living donor registry of his own accord, which is incredible. So yeah,
that's amazing. You know, and what was it? The Jazz came out today and said that surgery was successful.
Yeah, Will announced last night right before the game started that they'd heard from the Zanuck family and that he came out and he was awake, alert, and that everything seemed to be successful. And like the turnaround time for this is relatively fast. Like after a kidney transplant, you're only in the hospital for like a couple of days. Nice. And then recovery for a few weeks, and Zanuck plans to like come straight back and be back on the job. He was talking about being able to run the draft and all of the off-season stuff and yell at all of us reporters on a regular basis as per usual, which honestly can't wait. Justin's a great guy, and I'm really, really looking forward to having him yell at me some more. So.
I actually heard Danny Ainge was willing to do it, but then he went to the doctor and they were like, sir, your blood is 80% guacamole from Chipotle.
I knew this was going to Chipotle. Can't accept your kidney. I knew it. I knew it was going to be us. I was like, as soon as he started talking, I was like, well, there's a Chipotle joke coming right now.
He's got one black bean or one kidney that looks like a black bean, the other one that looks like a pinto bean. Yeah.
Oh man,
that's really funny. Glad he's gonna be okay though.
Yeah,
that's, yeah.
Seriously,
I can't imagine right. that has to be terrifying.
I mean, I guess the doctors were telling him, like, you know, operating at such low kidney function for who knows how long. When he gets out of the hospital and starts to recover, he's going to feel like he has so much stamina and energy because, like,
it's like he 14... took the limitless pill.
Right. And the one thing that I
he's like, going to be like, I'm going to trade Lauri Markkanen.
The one thing that people know about Justin, like, if they see him around, is like, I don't think I've ever seen Justin Zanuck without a Red Bull in his hand. Like, the guy goes to them like they're candy. And I just like can't imagine what he's like just on normal, non-fatigued function. If the Justin Zanuck that I knew is going to get a boost, then like, yeah, he might come back and just straight up trade Lauri Markkanen.
He's like, he like bursts through the walls like the Kool-Aid man being like, I need more first round draft picks.
Justin Zanuck in his like what? Late 40s, early 50s, getting into powerlifting.
Yeah, exactly. 49-year-old Justin Zanuck becomes bodybuilder. Yeah.
Starts putting up Ronnie Coleman numbers. We just see him squatting 800 pounds. while screaming, I need more first-round draft picks.
Correct, yes. So I guess moral of the story here... all good thoughts to the Zanuck family, and go to the doctor, everyone.
Get a physical at least once a year.
Get checked out. Get your shit checked.
Yeah. I just realized that I'm almost 40 and I need to do that.
Yeah,
God,
you do.
Damn.
I'll never forget when I was like 9 years old. I saw a poster in my dad's doctor's office of George Foreman pointing, and it said, "Real men get it checked." And
yeah,
I was
they do.
Like, what is it? And my dad was like, "Your prostate." And I was like, "Oh, okay."
Tight. That's
I've
very
got...
funny.
This is probably not a story for the podcast. I'm going to tell it anyway. When I was, I don't know, probably between like 8 and 11 years old, I'd heard my brother is 10 years older than me. And so I was just around dude stuff a lot. Mm-hmm. And like, I started riding motorcycles at 7 because I was like, oh, that's what he does, so here I go, you know, like just very weird stuff for a little girl. But I would hear
by weird, you mean cool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Listen, did I have a gun and a little 50cc motorcycle when I was 8 years old? Yeah, I did. Okay. Yeah. It was a strange upbringing in the mountains of Central California. But I would hear, like, I overheard some jokes in which there was something that men had to do at a doctor where there was coughing and touching their privates involved. And the way that over the years of hearing jokes or just information about this event that happens to dudes, the way that my young mind interpreted it was that what men had to do was that they had to go to the doctor, and that the doctor would grab their balls and would pull down on them until it made the man cough.
Yeah, like
triggering
a cough. Yeah, like a cuckoo clock.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Oh, so, man, that's such a funny visual.
And like, just what I would heard is that, like, I just had like this visual of someone reaching out and grabbing and then telling them to cough. And I thought it was like a cruel command, like grabbing them, pulling on them and being like, cough. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, at some point around maybe like 11 or 12, I'd heard my brother talking about like getting a physical because he was going into the Navy. Or had just come home from boot camp or something like that. And I was like to my mom one day, like off to the side, I was like, oh, I'm just like really scared for Jeremy because it sounds really painful. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, I don't want them to pull on his balls too hard. And she was like, I'm sorry, what do you think happens? And then I explained it and my whole family just absolutely roasted me. Mm-hmm. Just endlessly and mercilessly. And to this day, whenever I do something stupid or whenever there's a good like ball joke that's up in the air, my family just reaches out and makes a motion and says, cough, and pulls down really hard. So yeah, go get everything checked out is what I'm saying. And also that's not how it happens.
Well, you can tell Jazz are very exciting right now because we're telling these
stories. Talking
about...
Yeah.
We're talking. Welcome to Testicle Talk. The Jazz. So Lauri Markkanen's going to be reevaluated when the season's over, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was real cool. Yeah. I loved that. Was that really got me good. Like legitimately when I saw the tweet come out about Lauri Markkanen has a shoulder issue. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks when the Jazz have 2 road games left in the season.
Yeah, so let's see. I'm looking at it right now. That came in on Saturday. I'm just doing some tabulations to make sure that I'm right on this. Saturday, 1, 2, right. So exactly 2 weeks from that date of the announcement from the Jazz would be on April 13th. And the Jazz's last game of the season is on the road on April 14th. So, yeah.
Great. Like, just say you're shutting him down. Like, there's no harm in that at this point.
Yeah.
You have, like, four people watching your games.
Also, we've got... the injuries that Jordan Clarkson has had lately, it sounds like the man's body is breaking down.
He has a case of acute itis. He's been diagnosed with a rare case of 1-2-3 Cancun.
He's had just in the last 2 weeks, he's had a groin strain. He's had back soreness. Now he's got something called an SI. SI injury.
He sprained his finger flipping through Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, he has Sports Illustrated pain.
Which is funny because so does Sports Illustrated.
Now John Collins has back spasms. A real injury, though. Last night, Walker Kessler had his face bashed in, was bleeding, and broke his nose.
See you next year, bud. Yeah. I have a hot take that I want to talk, since we just talked John Collins and Walker or Kessler in sequential order.
Yeah.
I think the Jazz have to make a decision this offseason. And I think they need to move one of them, because I think it's been proven that they don't work. And they, like, you're going to have one of those guys as, like, part of your core,
mm-hmm.
you know,
well,
and like
bad
both
news
of those.
For you.
Yeah. I've got some bad news too.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Andrew Wiggins has started playing well again. So I think he's off the table.
But I don't think those two work. And I think the Jazz have to make a decision this offseason on who they're going to keep.
Counter argument. They absolutely do not have to make a decision, because...
Well, fine, they should make a decision.
But why, if being bad next year is the goal?
I want them to.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing, man. Like, at this point, like... re-sign Talen Horton Tucker.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. 1 year... $12 million.
I notice he doesn't have any little injuries.
He does not.
Weird coincidence.
He's the one who's gone to the doctor. Full bill of health.
I was looking at the full THT win-loss record last night. 12-35.
Mm-hmm. What's his plus-minus on the season?
That's a great question. Here we go. Bull box plus-minus. -1.
Hey!
That's not bad. Like, incredibly surprising,
yeah.
As well as, like, should probably be a case study in that plus minus is not, like, a great stat to determine someone's
right. This is
value,
like, overall box plus minus off of Basketball Reference, just so everyone knows what I'm looking at. But -1, not what I was expecting.
A lot better than I expected. Great.
That's weird. sure. what else is Jazz centric right now? What is necessary?
I don't know. Bryce Sensabaugh looks like he can play basketball.
I know.
Cool.
I really do. Oh, man. Okay. Keontae's overall box plus minus is -4.3. That does not tell a complete story.
Certainly does not. Anyway, but yeah, it does seem like, you know, maybe the Jazz actually had a decent draft this year. I mean, obviously time will tell, but that's, if you are watching the last 8 games of this season, that's what you have to be watching for, is Taylor Hendricks, Bryce Sensabaugh, and Keontae George. Jury's still out on whether or not, like, those are guys who can, you know, get you into contention, but at least there does seem to be something there, and it doesn't, you know, it's not like a total waste.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you're thinking about maybe if they have the same, like, progression of growth over the next year that they had this year, right?
Right.
That feels pretty good to me. I am a little bit worried about Keyonte. The turnovers have been really bad lately.
He also, like, he can't be Trae Young on defense. He just can't.
Correct.
Especially because of how athletic and long he is, as opposed to
exactly, Trae Young, exactly my point. And like
weighs less than me.
Yeah.
I am actually there. That is one thing that I'm very interested to see is like, what do Taylor Hendricks and Keyonte George look like body wise coming into next season? Like,
yeah, I was asking Will about that last night. Like, over the last couple of weeks and like heading into the next couple of weeks, Jazz are having like sit down development off-season plan talks with everyone on the team.
Yeah.
And I was asking him, like, when you're talking to Bryce, Keyonte, Taylor, like, how high on the list of priorities is strength, conditioning, body, like, compared to, you know, skill practice and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like priority number one for all of them.
By the way, I mean, looking at aggregate plus minus right now. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
George is a minus 352 on this season.
Oof.
John Collins minus 307. And Talen Horton-Tucker only a minus 93.
Well, he hasn't played.
I know.
An aggregate enough.
You're,
but
you're positive, Utah Jazz men. Johnny Juzang plus 2 on the season.
Yeah.
Chris Dunn.
End of list.
I know. Chris Dunn plus 9.
Yeah.
Simone Fontecchio plus 9. Jason Preston plus 17.
Uh-huh.
And Lauri Markkanen a plus 21 on the year. Good for Lowry.
Good for him.
Good for him. We'll see you next season, guy. Yeah. That's your reward. For being good at basketball you don't have to play professional basketball until August of next year. Or I guess not next year, but this year, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
5-6
I
months.
Wonder. There is a world in which something dramatic happens NBA wise this offseason.
Sure.
And puts NBA the Jazz wise? In a position.
Or jazz yeah. wise.
NBA, like, I, you know, like, for example, like, there's rumors/reporting that there's some contentious feelings with Paul George and they're not getting near like extension talks in LA. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, someone else flames out in the playoffs and they actually decide to blow it up. Like, there's potential for that.
Uh-huh.
And that would put the Jazz in a position to be able to like offer someone money or a trade. That being said, like, if that doesn't happen, as we've said on like the couple of recent podcasts, I just think that we are absolutely destined for tank season 3.
Uh-huh.
Which the reason I'm bringing it up is because I do believe in these rookies that the Jazz have. I believe in Taylor Hendricks and Bryce Sensabaugh and Keyonte George. I think they have real potential. Like I think that Keyonte George has like Jamal Murray potential. I think that Taylor Hendricks has maybe even better Jeremy Grant potential.
I think that's the guy who comes to mind is like a longer Jeremy Grant, which is like good player.
If Jeremy Grant and Evan Mobley combined,
that's a really good basketball player.
Yeah, and I think that Taylor Hendricks has that potential.
You just described Chris Bosh.
Yeah,
yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Yes,
correct.
Yeah. Evan Mobley combined with Jeremy Grant is.
Bargain bin Chris Bosh is a really good basketball player.
And I think that, I mean, Bryce Sensabaugh is, I'm not even sure what his, like, what his comp or what his ceiling is, because I think he's better than anybody thought he would be. The question with him is, can he last? Is the health going to be there?
Yeah, are his knees just going to turn into flour?
Exactly. Two knee surgeries by the time that you're 19 is really, really rough. That being said, we all used to think that Steph Curry had glass ankles and would never last. So,
well, they put a dead man's ankle in his ankles. So,
that's true.
Yeah. And also, like, have you seen the ankle braces he wears?
Yeah.
Also, underrated part about that, turns out Nike didn't care enough about him to design shoes that would protect his ankles.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
That is the other thing that actually was happening there.
Outside of misspelling his name in the pitch meeting.
Dude, they didn't even misspell his name. It said Kevin Durant on
the deck. Oh, did it really? Oh,
yes,
that's what it was.
On the
yes,
deck.
That's what
it... on the pitch deck, it said Kevin Durant. And, like, Dell was mad about it. There's yeah. a really good Ethan Strauss piece. I hate giving him
right
yeah you know what he's become, but when he was an NBA reporter, he wrote a really
yeah when he was actually doing
that.
Work
yeah when he was not trying to be Ben Shapiro.
I was gonna say when he wasn't when he before he was basketball Ben Shapiro.
You know, he would say that now he's doing the real
well
work.
Actually yeah. everyone VORP is a lot more of an indicator than on court plus minus. Thank you. I will not be taking any questions. Mm-hmm. I have earned my position.
I still cannot believe the Kevin Durant thing on the during a pitch meeting is absolutely insane.
Yeah,
that's so funny. No, nobody proofread that.
Yeah,
that rules. That's so funny. Anyway, yeah, back to the Jazz.
Anyway, I mean, the reason that all of this, like, I do believe they have potential. The worrying part is that I very much doubt the Jazz's ability to become a better team, or I very much doubt the Jazz's want to become a better team this year. Mm-hmm. And that's not great for the young players' development, right? Like, I think it's very cool, a very cool story to talk about, like the surge that we're seeing from Jalen Green in Houston, mm-hmm. and people talking about, like, you know, after 3 years, you know, a couple of years where everyone was doubting if he was really, you know, this kind of a guy. Now he's like showing that he can be. I would argue that when you put, you know, 17 teenagers together in an NBA environment without anyone to learn to and without any sort of like forward thinking plan, that they don't develop into who they're supposed to be. Like, yeah. there has to be balance on a roster to make that happen.
I also would argue that the reason Jalen Green looks so good right now is because Amen Thompson is actually awesome. If you watch, like, he doesn't have to do point guard things anymore. He can just be like yeah. an athletic freak who's faster yeah. than everybody.
Right, but I mean, and that the reason that yeah. Amen is there, right, and doing that kind of stuff,
yeah,
and
because they
were I would
terrible.
Also,
but also, how much is it like having a guy like Fred Van Vliet as
exactly.
well, like a
yeah.
former All Star, a guy
that.
Who's won a title, and like also. There's your point guard, and you don't have to pretend that Jalen Green is a point guard. And yeah, he can just be like the most athletic, freakish guy on the court and just hand him the ball and let him be a freak.
And not for nothing. Like, I think that Dylan Brooks sucks, right? But like, by all accounts, like every team that he's on, the guys are like, he's great for the young guys. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Well, that's the argument I was making for the Jazz keeping Otto Porter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that worries me, because like, if we want these guys to reach that potential, if we expect to see them have growth, and that's not just like for me as someone who like wants to see it and wants the content, or just for the fans who would like to see the progress, you know, as you're trying to team build, if you don't give these young players, you know, the tools they need in their roster companions in order to have that kind of growth, there's no guarantee that the team that the Jazz are wanting to build actually includes all three of them. Making them good also increases their value, which is yeah. important, right? Because if it comes to a point where like the star is available and you're going to trade and you got all the picks, you still have to like match salary and throw in things that they want. And that could include young players. But if they're like, eh, I haven't really seen enough out of Taylor to really care, or Keontae or anything.
Isn't that why they brought in John Collins in the first place?
Well, I mean, that helps match salary, but if a
exactly
if team's
my point.
If a team is taking on John Collins, right, then they're gonna want something nice and young,
sure,
and
yes,
fresh
yeah,
to go
they're
with.
Gonna
it.
Want, yeah, absolutely.
And
but if we're just talking numbers,
right?
And this is why I'm now starting. Look, I was beating the Andrew Wiggins to the Jazz drum all season. But now, starting right now, this is why the Utah Jazz should trade for Chris Paul this summer.
Yeah.
For all the people who are saying that they want the Jazz to be like the Thunder.
You know, Joey, we've had a lot of talks about us, you know, just like being friends and, you know, like us having a good relationship. And I'm starting to doubt that.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why you feel the need to do this to me and to bring. I'm already going through enough in my life. I don't need Chris Paul added to
Greg
it.
Greg is going to eat so many trauma shoving down Little Caesars pizza pockets after this conversation.
Yes. Yeah, the last which is yeah. 3 weeks from now I'm going to talk to you guys about having a Justin Zanuck kidney.
I mean, the problem is that like NBA coaches and executives love Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one of the problems the Golden State Warriors are currently having is that Steve Kerr loves Chris Paul too much.
Yeah.
Great. This is can't wait for that to be the big offseason.
I love that
43-year-old Chris Paul.
All of the Chris Paul was like, no, I'm never worried about Draymond Green's disposition. Good.
All right. This was fun. Great.
Well, I feel like there was something else. I'm looking at the thing you sent. Hit all the things?
Great. Yeah.
We hit all the things.
Why? If you're going to watch Jazz basketball for the last 8 games of the season, just watch for the young guys. That's it.
Also, we're going to do a mailbag episode.
Yeah.
Oh, there's something I'd like to say real quick. Congratulations to the people of Utah for not getting the Oakland A's, which
they're
going to move to Sacramento this week, probably.
I do like that for Sacramento.
I do not.
Okay.
Because Vivek is moving them there, thinking he's going to be able to move the A's to Sacramento. And if this has been proof of anything, it's you can't trust anything the Oakland A's owners are saying. And
no, correct.
They are snakes who are scumbags. And the only reason this is even happening is because their owner's a vindictive, creepy loser who is opting to lose millions of dollars on their TV deal so he can screw the city of Oakland some more by keeping his half of the owner, the lease in on the Coliseum, and make that a husk, an undevelopable husk for the foreseeable future.
We hate John Fisher forever. Yeah. He is...
Sell the team.
The vindictive nature of John Fisher is so the way that he is operating, exactly like you said, it is purely just to stick it to the city of Oakland. Yeah. Like there's no other reason that could be behind this. When rich people are leaving money on the table, it's because of like some sort of vengeful agenda.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he would have figured out some way to screw the city of Utah. So congratulations for not getting, I mean, the state of Utah.
The city of Utah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mike Conley.
But congrats on not having to deal with him. You'll get a baseball team someday, I promise. That's not a good one. That's not the one you want. And Sacramento, Vivek, I know you think you're smarter than John Fisher, but you might be smarter than him, but you're not going to win this one either.
God, I hate John Fisher so much. So, like, it hurts my heart.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was fun.
Send your mailbag questions.
Yep.
Please do.
Send them. We are at Dan Shem Dad, at NBA Sarah, at Unsalvageables. You can find us on social media. You can send your questions to our email unsalvageablepod@gmail.com. Do all the things. Rate, review, subscribe, download. And RIP to the Jazz. And we will talk to you next time.
Sell the team.
Jazz, sell the team. Chris Paul for Jazz PG.
No, that's no, the sell hashtag. The team. That's the message.
Team. Sell the team! That's our... Episode over! I love it. That was great.